first, tell everybody what is your company and how did you come up with this idea?
The name of the company is Fangage, and our website is thefangage.com. And what our platform does is it allows fans to upload pictures to celebrities, and the celebrities have an iPad app where they can receive those photos, sign those photos, and send them back to the fans in real time. And the concept came up a little over 3 years ago. My co-founder and I, my co-founder is Emmanuel Sanders. He's going in his 11th year in the NFL. But him and I were at the Denver airport together, and a teenage kid came up to him, asked him to take a selfie. So the teenager opened up Snapchat. They took the selfie together, and then he asked Emmanuel to sign that picture with his finger. And both of us, you know, looked at each other, and we were like, whoa, that was really dope. Like,
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, welcome back here to Think Tech Hawaii with your gracious host, Prince Dykes, the Prince of Investing, coming to you guys and girls live from the beautiful state of Honolulu, Hawaii, by the way of Denver, Colorado. But as you guys and girls can see in the description box, we got somebody here, an entrepreneur. We want to shift gears a little bit. I know how we usually talk about finances on the show, but we want to shift the gears of an entrepreneur who has changed the way, changed his industry, re-innovated his industry that I think is very cool, that the way that celebrities and fans interact with each other. And guess what? It's coronavirus-proof business here. So what I had to do right now, the company is called Fangage, right? Fangage. I'm sorry if I'm butchering the name, but it's Fangage. And essentially, I'm going to bring in a CEO. He's coming all the way from the beautiful city and state of Detroit, Michigan right now. So first off, let me introduce my guest, Mr. Josh Bryan. How you doing today, sir?
What's up, Prince? Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate you shifting gears. I know you're always deep into the finances, but I appreciate you having the entrepreneurs on here so we can tell our stories, but also talk a little bit about the struggles.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I'm right there with you. You know, at heart, I'm an entrepreneur myself. So anything I can do to help, especially with your product, I actually used it. So I get a lot of emails. I get a lot of phone calls of people that want to come onto the show. But when I first heard of your product, I used it on the low. I didn't tell anybody. I just, let me see how this product worked. And I seen it come back, and I was like, oh, wow, this is for real. And I thought it was pretty cool, especially since COVID-19 is going on. So I want to talk to you first. Tell everybody what is your company and how did you come up with this idea?
The name of the company is Fangage, and our website is thefangage.com. And what our platform does is it allows fans to upload pictures to celebrities, and the celebrities have an iPad app where they can receive those photos, sign those photos, and send them back to the fans in real time. And the concept came up a little over 3 years ago. My co-founder and I, my co-founder is Emmanuel Sanders. He's going in his 11th year in the NFL. But him and I were at the Denver airport together, and a teenage kid came up to him, asked him to take a selfie. So the teenager opened up Snapchat. They took the selfie together, and then he asked Emmanuel to sign that picture with his finger. And both of us, you know, looked at each other, and we were like, whoa, that was really dope. Like, do you think people would want autographs on the photos that they took themselves as opposed to paying for an autograph on a photo that somebody else took? And that was the original concept. And when we launched version one, we thought people were going to upload photos that they took of or with Emmanuel, but the opposite happened. People uploaded photos that meant a lot to them. And then that's when we realized that our idea was a lot more robust than we originally thought. And then at that moment, we said we got to shift our gears from just having a good idea to creating a really solid company.
Okay. Now, so the how you're, you know, and you've grown this platform to 70,000 users into 20 different countries, correct? So now to think about it.
Yeah, we've had a lot of success.
Okay, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
We've had a lot of success. You know, we've had, you know, all pro football players from George Kittle to Jamal Adams to, you know, World Series champion Tony Kemp from the Houston Astros, all the way down to professional video gamers who, you know, are from South Korea. They moved to the United States to chase their gaming dreams, but all their fans are still in South Korea. So we send autographs to South Korea. We send autographs to, you know, South Africa, all over the world. And over these past 3 years, you know, we've had over 70,000 people sign up for our platform and send in pictures to get signed by the celebrities they admire.
Nice, nice. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you, how did you get the money to do? Now, I know you said your co-founder is Emmanuel Sanders. I know he's in the NFL, just got signed to the New Orleans Saints. How did you get the money to be able to create this? Did you have investors? Did you have to raise money? Or did you just pull it out of your back pocket?
So when we started, it was a lot of calls. You know, I probably had a conversation with a dozen developers. You know, I called them, reached out to them. I didn't have any money at the time. And, you know, 11 of them said no. And on the 12th call, I ended up reaching out to my CTO, Fernando Cardenas, who's in Boulder, Colorado. I told him my story. I told him what I was hoping to do. And, you know, he told me, he said, "Josh, to be honest, the idea is good. You know, the concept is good. I don't think it's great. I'm not too sure it's going to scale, but I can hear the passion in your voice. I can feel it in my gut that you're not going to let this fail. And because of that, I will build this platform for you. And I will be part of this journey with you." And so, you know, right off the bat, I found a developer to build the platform, which was the bulk of the cost. And then Emmanuel, once I told him that I had a developer that would build it, he said, "All right, I know you've been making a lot of cold calls. I know you've been getting rejected a lot. But now that you found somebody that believes in you, I believe in you too." And so he gave me that first little bit of cash to really just get things off the ground to where I wasn't clearing out my savings account.
Nice, nice, great. Okay, well, that's a great way how you put a little sweat equity into there. He saw you put in the work, and shout out to Emmanuel Sanders for looking out for you to get behind your product. Because I know I've seen it on Yahoo Sports. I've seen it recently on ESPN with First Take, right? So that was great exposure that you're gaining. But how do you, have you ever ran into the issue, or not the issue, but how do you like learning to brand your company? Any branding issues? What lessons are you learning, or what lessons do you like to give to people out there with branding this product?
Yeah, we weren't the first ones to try digital autographs. You know, there was somebody before us and there was somebody before them. You know, the concept started back in about 2011, and you know, there's a couple companies that launched it, you know, had great concepts, but it didn't work. And what really set us apart was we were the first ones to start signing people's personal photos. So our brand, and what this brand that we've created, is we're saying we're not a memorabilia company. When we first launched this company, we said we're the new age memorabilia. We're going to change the memorabilia market, you know, and, you know, we're the new memorabilia. But we're people aren't purchasing our product or participating in our product with the intent that it's going to raise in value. So we had to shift our thinking because we weren't a memorabilia company. Memorabilia is something like an autographed ball or an autographed bat, a football. Like you're hoping that it raises in value one day. Well, our product's not like that. We sign photos that are really, really personal. So our brand needs to be really, really personal. So we really pushed that, you know, these are your photos. These are the memories that you care about the most. So we got trademarked autographed memories because we're not autographed memorabilia. We're an autographed memories company. So that's the brand that we said that we were going to wrap our arms around, this unique feature that we have celebrities signing photos that are really, really intimate, really, really intimate for the fans, you know, kids who are, you know, in children's hospital, not able to go to games or go to autograph signings because they're sick. We're signing photos of them in their jerseys, in their beds. And that's a memory that they will always hold on to. And we're making it just a little bit more special for them. So, you know, it took us about a year to really find out our identity. And, you know, it a lot of mistakes. You know, we tried some things that didn't work, but we went through an accelerator program in Boulder in the fall of 2018. And that accelerator program, the first 2 weeks of the program, they forced us to reach out to all of our registered users and talk to them about why they chose to use our product. And through that interview process, we learned really quickly that it's that personal touch, it's that customization that really separated us. So that's when we said, oh, we're not a memorabilia company. We're signing memories. We're autographing memories. That's when we created this brand around autographed memories.
Got it. So people out there who may have missed it or whatnot. Well, I had my son, Wesley, he took a picture. He had an Emmanuel Sanders jersey on. He was in front of an Emmanuel Sanders poster. And I went to Fangage. I went to the website. I uploaded the picture. And I want to say probably like a month later, Emmanuel Sanders, not only did he signed it live. So I got a live little video clip of him actually signing the photo, propping the photo up or whatnot. And it was personalized. He wrote it to Wesley and things like that. So in the era of coronavirus and a pandemic is spreading around the country and the globe, people are now looking for ways to engage with fans without being physical. So I think this is a great, great way of in a new innovative way. But one of the questions I want to ask you, profitability, how do you think you would make money from this app? Because it didn't charge me. How do you pay the athletes? What is the fee structure? What are you going to do to make this thing profitable?
So our original revenue model was B2C. So we were charging the fans every time a photo was signed. So you upload your photo and there would be a fee associated. So say, for instance, we were charging $10 for every signed photo. There, it went well, but we never maximized our earning potential. Say Emmanuel was doing a signing on Saturday and 5,000 people uploaded photos and he signed 300 of those. We only made money on 300 photos. So we always left way more money on the table than we made. But the thing that we gathered a lot of was data. We gather a lot of emails. You know, they say a picture is worth, you know, 1,000 words. Well, it's worth 1,000,000 data points. So we realized that we have a product that brands are looking to purchase. You know, they're looking for engaging experiences that not only, you know, create engagement, but it also, brings in data and it also makes lasting impressions to their customer base. So over the past 6 months, we've shifted our business model to B2B, where now, say, for instance, you have a company like Dick's Sporting Goods, where they tend to do in-person appearances where they'll have a celebrity or an athlete come into the store, sit down for 2 hours, sign photos, take pictures, and do things like that. Now we're going to those brands and we're saying we have an experience that could be completely customized. You put your logo on the bottom of every signed photo. So when it's shared on social media, it's your likeness that's going to get that positive association. Now we have this experience where kids are excited and people are in homes and they're getting excited to participate in our product because it brings them joy. And so we're going to the brands and we're saying we have an experiential product that's better than an in-person event. So now our business model is going to those brands and we've seen business increase 100-fold over the past month due to all the canceled events that are going on. And, you know, we're enjoying this ride right now. I say there's some rainy seasons in entrepreneurship. Right now it's raining and we're playing in the rain.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I noticed, and you know, especially when the coronavirus picked up, I had used it before already. I think it was earlier this year, last year, when I got the email and the photo and things like that. So especially with the coronavirus, where everybody's looking for new ways to be engaging with customers without physically being there. And you're right on the money where people can get autographs from some of their favorite athletes. Now, what is you spoke about your business model for profitability. What about how do you get new celebrities? Maybe is it just sports or is it just any celebrity, anybody? What's the model behind that?
Yeah, we usually, deal a lot with their marketing agents and talent agents. We also depend heavily on our co-founder, who's, a professional athlete. Part of his duties is to bring on, new celebrities as well. But we believe that wherever people pull out cameras, there's a market. So we started in sports because that's where our connections are the strongest. But we're hoping to get into more entertainment, where if you go to a concert, for instance, and you take a selfie with you and your friend and you have the musician in the background while they're on stage, we want to go to the ticket masters of the world and, the record labels and say, while that artist gets on the tour bus and they drive to the next city, let them sign pictures for 30, 40 minutes, like VIP access, because we're about to enter a new norm where we don't know when the autograph appearances are going to come back. We don't know when that VIP meet and greet type engagement will be back. It could be 6 months. They might not come back, because when we built this product, we said we're providing something for the celebrities so they don't have to shake 1,000 random hands. And even though they it's good for the brand, we talked to a lot of celebrities and they said days after doing autograph signings, I usually get some kind of cold or some kind of sickness, because they shake a lot of random hands and they meet a lot of strangers. And especially how we are now, I don't know if that type engagement is coming back. So we really want to get to the music industry, the Hollywood, the movie and entertainment industry, where if there's a release coming out or album release, when those meet and greet type things disappear, we want them to plug in Fangage and say, we're not going to do the personal meet and greets, but we'll go live and we'll sign the photos that you care about to just show, to give you thanks and provide that two-way communication to show that we really appreciate your support. So right now we're in the ground running and we're trying to cross over to as many industries as possible, because we know that there's some competition coming. We don't know where it's going to come from, but we know it's coming. And how we're going to combat that is to put our, make sure that we put our foot in every single industry. So when they do come, they look up and they say, damn, Fangage is already there. And they already got this many celebrities and they've already locked this industry down. So we're starting to cross over, and that's really important for our growth right now.
Okay. Now, one of the questions I got for you as well is, what incentive do you have for the celebrity to say, or the talent agency to say, you know what? Yeah, we want to be involved. We will do this.
It's a couple things. The first is, we pay appearance fees to, if the celebrity has an appearance fee, we'll pay that. And, especially if it's an instance where, early on when we were, testing out the platform, not only did we pay those appearance fees, but, we told them that this is going to be good for their brand. We've had athletes tell us that they receive more social goodwill from doing our event than they did when they were sitting out in the cold handing out coats at a coat drive. People were thanking them and praising them and thank you so much for doing this for my son or my grandmother. So the social goodwill is huge, especially right now where, a lot of the celebrities are starting to turn to live feeds. But they're only sending out messages. They're not receiving anything back. And the live feed can be extremely awkward. A lot of, athletes and their marketing agents, they know that they need to use these live feeds because it's great for engagement, but it's extremely awkward. It's like you hold up this camera in front of your face and you look down and there's only two or three people watching. You're like, man, I don't know about this. I'm not, I'm good on that. I'm not doing that. It's a really awkward space. So by providing them with our platform, now they're giving the viewers a reason to watch. Now the viewers tuning in like, man, I sure hope my photo gets signed and I'm going to sit here and watch this whole time to make sure that, you know, I don't miss that moment where my photo gets signed. So now we're taking that awkwardness away from live video and we're saying, let us help you get into this, you know, phenomenon that is live video. You don't have to do it alone. We'll help you, you know, give you this resource. So now people are leaving your live feed and thanking you for doing it instead of leaving it and saying, ah, well, you know, all he did was talk, you know, that's it.
Now, what are some of the challenges you face as an entrepreneur on your path?
Man, it's chill. Where do I start? You know, I would say, you know, by far the biggest is, you know, financial literacy. You know, I wasn't a business major. You know, no one in my family were entrepreneurs. No one owned businesses. So I didn't know what a business model was. I didn't know what an assumption was. You know, a profit loss statement to me was just like over my head, you know, and, you know, that's such an important part of the business. But if you don't immerse yourself in it, if you don't make yourself vulnerable to it, and, you know, send it out to people and have them critique your financial model and, you know, sometimes make fun of your financial model, you're not going to learn. And for me, that was probably the biggest hurdle, was figuring out what a financial model needs to look like, because I'm expecting to go to investors and, get investments. But if you don't know what a financial model is, how do you expect to tell your story through the numbers? And, you know, so that was something that I had to, you know, swallow my pride and really just go back to school. You know, that's why, you know, I decided to put the company through an accelerator program, was because we needed to become more financial literate. Like we didn't know enough about what it took to build a company through numbers. And that was something that, you know, we had to learn. So, you know, I would say that definitely that was the first, you know, big obstacle. You know, I would say a second one is, you know, checking your ego at the door. You know, it's a very humbling experience. I probably, you know, I've been told no or no thank you a couple thousand times, man. Like, and you can't have an ego. Like, you literally every day you got to check it at the door, because you got to get ready to be told no and then no again and then no again. But, you know, I was, you know, for instance, I was told no by a company. I met with them once a year for the past 4 years. Every single year I met with the same company to give them an update on what Fangage is doing. And every single time they said, you're not ready yet. We want to see you scale better. You're just not ready yet. Last 2 weeks ago, they reached out to me and they said, okay, we see you now. You're ready, and we want to run with you. So, you know, it's just persistence, man. And like I said, you know, checking your ego at the door, because truth be told, you're probably going to fail. And you have to be able to, you know, make yourself vulnerable to that. A lot of people have great ideas. They have great concepts. You know, they're great workers, but they're scared to make themselves vulnerable to failure. And if you're not willing to put yourself out there to fail, then it, you know, trying to start a business is not for you. And I'm, you know, and that's probably been one of the toughest things. I'm so super competitive. I hate to lose. You know, I being told no just throws me the wrong way. But that's just part of the journey. And it took me a little while to realize that, you know, they're not doing it to hurt me or in a harmful way. You know, they're doing it to help me grow. They're telling me no, not because they didn't like what I'm trying to do or like me. It just wasn't ready yet. And they're telling me no, because I need to go get ready.
Okay. Now, you spoke about, you know, the financial literacy piece and having your struggles and things like that and whatnot. This is my take. You tell me if I'm crazy about this. But I think competition in your space would actually help you. Let's say if some big company or celebrity got behind the exact same thing you were doing, not behind you, till they created their own version and they started to run with it, right? Yes, they're going to have momentum, but I think that it would probably create a little momentum for your company as well. You get what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You hit it right on the head, man. You hit it right on the head. You know, for instance, now we're starting to see, a couple of Major League Baseball teams, a couple of NASCAR drivers. What they're doing is they're going on Twitter and they're telling their Twitter base, comment on this Twitter post, a photo that you want me to sign, and I'll sign it. And then, the race car driver will save the photo, sign the photo, save it again, and then reply to that fan via Twitter. And, it's a long way to do what we're trying to do, but it just confirms that what we're doing has legs. And so more and more people are seeing what they're doing, and they're saying, oh, well, Fangage is doing it too. But they've figured out a way to do it a lot easier, make it a lot easier for the celebrity where they don't have to save all these photos in their phone just to sign them. And so we've seen a lot of people come to us, potential investors, brands who they're recognizing that other people are starting to get into this digital autograph space. So they'll send us an article or they'll send us something to say, hey, this made me think of you guys. I would love to touch base. So you hit it right on the head, man. Now that, like I said earlier, we know that the competition is going to come. People are sitting at home and they're trying to think of ways to engage, and you have different brands and teams are trying to figure out, how are we going to weather this storm? So we know competition is going to come, and we welcome it, because just like you said, it's going to be good for business because everybody wants the easier way. And right now, I truly believe we have the easiest way to get this done.
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to bring light to your market to where they're like, oh, well, this person said it. This person started speaking about it. So now that topic.
And like I said, we weren't the first ones to do. We're not the first ones to do digital autographs. From 2010 through 2014, there was a couple companies who tried it, and it didn't work. They were trying to sign stock photos. So you go to a website, you choose from a set of stock photos that you can get those signed. But what they struggled with was the repeat customers, those daily active users, was low, because once you got a stock photo signed, it's like, what am I going to come back for? But the fact that we started signing people's personal photos, now it's like, well, I got thousands of pictures that I would want to get signed. If I don't get this one signed, I'm going to come back and upload three more. And so, our way of signing personal photos as opposed to stock photos was our competitive edge. And, we'll see what the competition comes with. But we're ready for it. We got some things in the pipeline that I'm really, really excited about. And,
Now, ask you this question. Would you be interested in a collab? Like, I know I've seen companies that are kind of doing the personalized videos and things like that. Would you be interested in collaborating with a company like that?
Yeah. I mean, I would, I consider Cameo, they do the 10-second video shout outs. I consider them, not only a competitor, but, we talk about exit strategies and things like that. They're on our list. They have a product that is similar to ours. We feel like ours has a little bit more scalability in the B2B industry. But we're starting to do a lot of collaborations, man. We just finished up a week-long collaboration with a company called ProCamps. ProCamps, what they do is they put on professional kid camps for professional athletes. And now that, this COVID-19 has pretty much wiped out all kind of camps, so their business has been devastated because they can't put on these camps for the kids. So they transitioned and they said, okay, well, we have these athletes under agreement to put on camps, but now that they can't, we want to do like virtual Q&A, virtual talk type engagement, so that the kids can still, you know, engage with the athletes. So they reached out to us and they said, can we use FanGage during our live interviews? And I was like, hell yeah, let's go, because it makes perfect sense, because you guys have the athletes under contract, so we're not having to pay them. And then we have a resource that can, you know, help you provide an experience for the kids that they will remember forever. So, you know, that's one partnership. And then, you know, we have a few in the works that, you know, everybody will be seeing the press releases over, you know, in the next 48 hours that's really going to put us on the map. You know, we got a lot of the sports leagues are having virtual drafts this year. That couldn't be any more tailor-made for FanGage. Like, we could not have written a better script for us right now. Are you serious? The WNBA, the NFL, all their drafts are virtual. So we have a platform where if that athlete has an iPad, this is a way where you can introduce your new player to the fan base, and they can upload photos for them to sign. And, you know, you can add, you know, it could be a live Q&A and say, you know, this is our newest member of our team, upload photos to get signed by them. And so, you know, with the virtual drafts coming up, we're really excited about some of the things we got in the pipeline, and that's just a little hint. Things are about to really speed up for us.
Nice. I saw that. I thought that was a very good resource that you had there. When I saw the pandemic break out, I said, hold up. And then, you know, I said, you know what? FanGage is in the right spot. But one thing I want to do, we got to get out of here, of course. You know, I loved it. But what do you want to leave people with, and also tell people how they can follow you, catch up, all of the good stuff?
Yeah, you know, again, Prince, thank you. You know, thank you for having me on. You know, I think at the core of FanGage, you know, a lot of people get caught up with the financial models and the scalability and, you know, the revenue models. You know, we all built this platform for the kids in us. You know, I used to write Kobe Bryant fan mail every single week, you know, not because I wanted anything in return, but because I just wanted him to know I existed. You know, I just wanted him to know, like, I was his biggest fan, and I just wanted to thank him for giving me that. You know, we share the same last name, but I just wanted to thank him for giving me that inspiration to be great. And so, you know, we built this platform for the kids who will never be able to afford to go to a game. You know, we built this platform for, you know, the grandma who can't go to a game, but she never misses one, you know, and she wears the same jersey and she sits in the same chair. You know, we built this platform for those who don't have the financial means to, you know, spend $200 to go to an autograph signing. You know, so, you know, at the core of it, you know, that's what this is all about, man. And, if you support that mission, if you have any great ideas, or if you have a relationship with a children's hospital, or, you know, anything like that where we can partner with you, you know, don't hesitate to reach out. You know, the website is thefangage.com. My email is josh@thefangage.com. You know, don't hesitate to reach out, because at a time like we are right now, we truly believe that we have a platform that can bring joy to millions of people without anybody being in harm's way. And right now, it's so little to be excited about. It's so little to find, you know, it's so hard to find joy with everybody getting sick and, you know, the staggering death numbers. But, you know, we truly believe that we have a platform that, one, can make a difference and bring joy in people's lives. And then after that, you know, the financial stuff, all that's going to come. But, you know, why we built this platform is because we're a bunch of kids at heart, and we want to build something for those kids who are less fortunate, who won't ever have that opportunity to meet their favorite athlete. And so every morning I wake up, I think about Kobe, you know, rest in peace, Black Mamba. But I think about those letters, and my mom, she sent me a picture of one of those letters that she saved, because eventually she stopped sending them because I was blowing through all the stamps. So she started to stash them away. So, you know, when I'm feeling down and, you know, this entrepreneurship just, you know, got me down. You know, she'll send me a little reminder just, you know, this is why you're doing it. You know, you're doing it for the 11-year-old you who couldn't, you know, have that two-way communication. So, you know, if you want to reach out, partner, that'd be great. Reach out to us. But if you already have, like you, Prince, you know, you're one of our early adopters. I really appreciate you getting onto the platform and uploading the photo of your son. I know exactly which photo you're talking about. So I appreciate you being an early adopter in our product, because, you know, it's folks like you who have helped us grow. And so, you know, I really appreciate that.
All right. Now, one last thing before we head out of here, guys and girls and children of all ages. You saw the Super Bowl. You saw Emmanuel Sanders playing the Super Bowl. I got one question for you. Was Emmanuel Sanders too slow, or did Jimmy Garoppolo overthrow him? Which one was it?
I'm going to say it probably wouldn't have mattered. I think Patrick Mahomes would have came back either way. So that play, it probably wouldn't have mattered. You know, for my brother, I wish they would have completed that pass, because that's a legendary, you know, moment. But yeah, I don't think it would have mattered. That boy Patty Mahomes was on fire, and I don't think the 49ers had, it would have taken 1,000 fire extinguishers to get him off his rocker. He was lighting up the scoreboard that second half, so I don't really think it would have mattered.
All right. Well, guys and girls,
politically correct answer.
I know that was very political. Very. Well, everybody, thank you for tuning in. And to the next video, podcast, cartoon, book, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe. Peace, be safe. I'm out, and thank you. We'll be right back.